Introducing the Two-Way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the Two-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the Two-Way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
Bucknutters, welcome to the Bucknuts Morning 5 here on Wednesday, August 7th, 2019. I am Dave Biddle. Very happy to be joined by Steve Hellwagon. Steve, Buckeyes now five practices deep after today. Let's start on the offensive side of the ball. I mean, other than Justin Fields, and we know that's a huge story, what's kind of standing out to you the most? Is it the offensive line? Is it some of the new receivers, some of the running backs? Just what stands out to you offensively so far from camp?
Well, first of all, I think it's the amount of depth and quality depth they have on the offensive line. To me, that's been very impressive. When you can look out there and say, hey, are they going to find a place for Josh Olave and Nicholas Petit-Frere and Harry Miller and all these other guys that they've got who are providing depth, I think it's very exciting that the offensive line is going to be, even though there aren't a number of guys who've started games at Ohio State, just a couple of them with Munford and Bowen, and I guess Davis started the last two games last year, yet I think to me they've got the potential to be very good, and the bodies that they put on the field are very impressive. I mean, you know, it's like 6'6", 3'10", across the way there, and very impressive. I think Josh Myers is nailing down that center spot. I think, you know, again, the depth. I mean, Matthew Jones, I didn't mention him. He'd be in the mix, too. So you have a lot of guys who came to Ohio State as highly recruited offensive linemen and are living up to that that billing. That's one. And the other one was the layup line I saw basically at wide receiver. They were having these guys run, it's crazy, this route that they were running. It was a crossing route. This has got to be an NFL design where they take three steps off the line of scrimmage, come back like they're going to catch a screen, and then go on a crossing route. And this was something that they ran over and over and over. And you watch them do it, and there goes, you know, K.J. Hill. There goes Ben Victor. There goes Chris Olave. There goes Garrett Wilson. There goes Jameson Williams. There goes Jalen Harris. I mean, it's one after another after another, and you're just astounded with the playmaking and the depth that they have at wide receiver. I think they're three deep at that position, at each all three positions, and that's going to be a great luxury because you can run those guys against the cornerbacks and then sub them out. And if the other team doesn't sub out their corners, you know, it's just a battle of attrition at some point. So I think with the tired guys trying to chase down the fresh guys. So to me, I think those are the two areas that really stand out is the offensive line and the wide receivers, just the depth. I mean, my goodness, I've never been a big person for subbing on the offensive line. I figure you get your five-man group and you get them together, and that keeps the false starts and the missed assignments to a minimum. But if there's quality across there, I wouldn't be adverse to subbing there either. So I'm excited to see, as Ryan Day said on Big Ten Network last night, we've got a lot of offense. So that's kind of a cool thing to hear the coach say.
One position where they might not have quality depth, I mean, they might eventually, but they might not, is running back. When we were out there the other day, Master Teague was working on the side. Coach Day stopped short of saying that DeMario McCall is the backup running back. In fact, he said, we don't have a legitimate backup running back. You can tell they want DeMario McCall to take that job and run with it. no pun intended, but I'll say pun intended on that one maybe. You know, but I do feel like DeMario McCall is going to, you know, he'll earn that job, but he hasn't done it yet. He hasn't been able to stay healthy. He missed all of spring. How do you see things shaking out at running back? Obviously, Dobbins is going to be the starter, but if you're a Buckeye fan, would you be concerned about depth there?
Well, I think you're concerned up until the point of the season starting and we get into the games and we see that if it's not going to be Master Teague, then I think DeMario McCall got in there last year against Maryland, and he only had 8 carries for the entire season, but he averaged about 6 yards a carry. And I know, you know, it's a small sample size, but I think that in some situations he could be a change-up back for them. They could throw the ball to him out of the backfield, certainly. Master Teague has, you know, very impressed with him in the spring, and I want to see how he takes it to another level. Is he the next guy in waiting, or is it going to be, you know, one of those other guys, Steel Chambers, Marcus Crowley, also in camp now, and they're really learning the ropes. It was very interesting to me, while some of the backs were doing that pass-catching drill, a couple of the younger guys were overworking exclusively on pass protection. And that is so important, so vital, that when you keep the back in, that the back keeps the whoever leaks through off the quarterback. So I think that, again, they're learning those young guys up. It's a process, and you don't get from point A to point B very quickly, although Dobbins, you know, he certainly was shoved in there at an early age when Mike Weber wasn't available the first year, at least the beginning of the season. So I think that it's going to be interesting to see. But, you know, McCall is a good enough player to handle it. It's just whether he can hold up over the test of time, because he's always been banged up and he's never lived up to his full potential. And he's got the potential to be a game-breaking type player. So I'm excited. You know, let's get into the season. And I know, you know, it's early in camp. There's still plenty of time to get the reps that they need to make it work.
And let's switch over to the defensive side of the ball, Steve. You know, that defensive line, they're just unbelievably good and incredibly deep. I mean, there's just, and no one's working on the side. That's like, that's one thing. There was like 8 guys working on the side the other day, which wasn't that many, but there was nobody from the defensive line working on the side. And I made the comment, like, they could have like 10 guys injured on the defensive line and still be fine. I mean, that's how deep they are. A little bit of an exaggeration there, but other than the D line, what kind of stands out defensively to you? What are you kind of watching the most? The linebackers, secondary, what has Steve Hellwagon's attention the most on the defensive side of the ball?
Well, again, we haven't had a chance to watch a whole lot of 11-on-11, if any, is my recollection. But you do see some of the snippets that have been put up, and there have been some passes completed. But at the same time, the secondary has done a good job. They had 4 takeaways yesterday, according to Coach Day, 4 interceptions, 2 by Josh Proctor, 1 by Jordan Fuller, didn't catch who the other one was. I'm hoping to watch some of those highlights, both from Ohio State's Twitter and also Big Ten Network, and maybe we'll get a feel for what some of those plays were. But I think the big thing is that, to me, that's something Ohio State didn't do a year ago. There were no takeaways to speak of by the defense, so that's important. And I think some of that had to do with, you know, losing Nick Bosa, because had he been there, the pressure would have been much more, and they would have had some strip sacks, and they would have had some interceptions, probably a few more. But I think the defensive line sets the tone with constant pressure and making the quarterbacks on the opposing team uncomfortable, and I think that that is where it all begins. And then from there, your linebackers play off of that, and your secondary is able to take some risks and do some different things. Just because you have great pressure up front and the ball's got to come out. So, to me, I think it's a thing where the defense is starting to put the pieces together with Jeff Hafley. He had a segment yesterday with Jerry DiNardo where he was explaining each aspect of the backpedal drill that the cornerbacks were doing and the safeties, and explaining exactly what they were looking for in each motion the guys were making. And to me, that's where football begins, is with those fundamentals and taking the right step, taking the right first step, you know, with the right leg. or the left leg. You know, you get what I'm saying with the proper leg and these kind of things. And these are the traits that you have to teach winning football players every day in practice. If they're taking bad steps and not doing things the proper way, they're going to give up big plays. We saw that last year, although a lot of people think it was scheme related. With whatever that was that the greatly troubled Greg Schiano was trying to do. But I digress. So, at any rate, I think you got to be excited as an Ohio State fan. The potential is there to be absolutely dynamite, I think, when you put it all together. But, again, it is a process and a maturation, and just – You want to see, they have to take each of these steps every day all the way until August 31st, and then beyond there, make the proper adjustments after they've played a few games and really tweak it. But I'm excited about the direction right now.
I'm with you 100%. I want to close the show talking about something really fun. The basketball tournament wrapped up last night, and the Ohio State alumni team, Carmen's Crew, won the $2 million championship. They beat the Marquette alumni team, the Golden Eagles, 66-60 with the Elam ending, of course. I mean, how exciting. I mean, this is just – when I first heard about this thing, you know, when they started it 4 or 5 years ago, I'm like, it's never going to catch on. Boy, was I wrong. I mean, it is so exciting. Just seeing, like, Aaron Kraft and William Buford and David Leidy and John Diebler and Evan Ravenel playing together again. And they also have some guys, you know, like the Gibbs kid, the 6'2" power forward. I shouldn't call him a kid. The Gibbs man, Jeff Gibbs from Otterbein. He's a 6'2" power forward. Anyway, it was just really cool to see these guys win the championship. They knocked off Overseas Elite in the semifinals, the team that had won the championship the first 4 years. So just really cool to see Carmen's Crew win that title last night, Steve.
Oh, I agree, Dave. And the uncrowned national champions from 2011, you know, that was the guts of the team, plus Jared Sullinger, who was their coach. And as I understand it, he's got a professional contract in China and very lucrative and did not want to, you know, risk an injury in this tournament to risk his contract. But he was the coach of this team. And it was fun to watch them play. William Buford is playing the best basketball of his life right now. And I would agree with Fran Fraschilla, who said, I can't believe this guy. And I know Dan Dockich had said it earlier, I can't believe this guy isn't on an NBA roster somewhere. So maybe that'll get him a look. I mean, he's got to be late 20s by now. But he was getting buckets all over the court. Leidy, you know, what can you say about him? He's such a glue guy, gets all the tough rebounds and does all the dirty work and defends. Kraft is still Kraft, although now he's sticking shots from all over the court, and he was driving to the basket for clutch layups. And that Elam ending, I mean, you just can't say enough how much excitement that brings and a sense of urgency to the end of the game. And to my way of thinking, Dave, if you've dominated – you know, in this case, they play a 36-minute game, 4 9-minute quarters. If you've dominated a 40- or 36-minute game for 90% of it, you know, the other team should have to do something extraordinary at the end to beat you. And obviously, yesterday, it was, I think, the Carmen's Crew was up 2 and immediately fell behind by 2, I believe, during the Elam ending, but then Diebler had the steal for the layup, and of course Buford closed it out with he got fouled on a defensive rebound 88 feet from the basket, and you lose $2 million because some guy was hanging on Buford, you know, on a defensive rebound. That's amazing. And they stuck the 2 free throws, and the guys each going to make in the $100,000 to $200,000 range for their participation. And you know, good for them. I mean, they fought for this last year you know, knocked off the 4-time defending champions Overseas Elite and really deserved that top prize, and so happy for them. Jared Sullinger may have a future as a coach, kind of following in his daddy's footsteps. He could be a guy down the line who could go Juwan Howard on us and be a coach somewhere someday, but you know, it's just so much fun to see those guys playing and smiling and having fun. and celebrating, and it just really shows the camaraderie that they've built with one another. It was real with Thad Matta, and I know Chris Holtmann has an open door policy now there with the older guys, and you know, some of the guys who've made money in the NBA, like Evan Turner, have come back and donated money for facilities and everything else, and D'Angelo Russell as well is probably in that group too. So, you know, that's what it takes. And I think was Mike Conley at courtside last night, Dave, or who was that they were going over to celebrate?
I don't know. He might have been. I don't know. I didn't personally see him, but he might have been.
He might have been. I don't know. He and Lighty came in together as part of that big recruiting class.
Thad Five.
But, you know, just think of the guys who weren't there. Deshaun Thomas, Greg Oden, B.J. Mullins, who played with him a little bit last year and then had a little bit of a falling out with the guys over money. You know, this team could honestly come back next year and add maybe an Oden or a – certainly Deshaun Thomas, who was going to play this year, and just imagine how much better they could be with a couple of those guys. So, you know, now we're talking TBT hot stove league here, but man, for the summer, they got us to training camp. We got Bengals and Browns preseason this weekend. We got, I think, Browns Redskins tomorrow night with Haskins and McLaurin against Denzel Ward, and for at least a few plays, and that should be a lot of fun too.
Great stuff as always from Steve Hellwagon. Thank you very much, Steve, and thanks to all the listeners out there for tuning into the show. I appreciate it. Hope everyone has a great day. Let's hear that Buckeye swag, best damn band in the land.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.